Wow,
scat. That's right away, straight in with the jazz.
Who doesn't want to listen to scat?
It's quite a good. It's quite a good way of coming in with a left of left field sort of like jazz impro there, yeah. Because I think that sets the theme for the rest of the really quite disorganised chaos that will follow.
Yeah. And anybody who's just coming to us, there is chaos to follow.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
We used to be, we used to be a podcast. And then we became a radio show.
With music.
We actually had songs and we could play songs we absolutely loved.
But then...
We went back to being a podcast, but we felt like, we've got to keep the songs.
We missed the songs. So what we did was, we made our own songs up and the bands.
So all the way through this, these aren't real bands. These aren't real song titles. And the little snippets of songs that you hear... They're not real songs.
But let's pretend they are. This is Abandoned Buttocks by Boris Johnson's Shopping Trolley.
So we've been recently breaking into the radio station that we're no longer affiliated to, and we stopped doing that now, but we decided if you can hear any banging in the background, all we could find was a building site nearby.
Sawing, banging, I was going to say screwing, but that would have sounded really, really inappropriate. Welcome to Left of Left Field, yeah. I'm Mark Charnock.
I'm Paul Combs.
So mate, what have you been up to? What's been going on?
Well, I went to see a mate, my mate Matthew. I mentioned him from time to time. We go all night clubbing.
Yes, brilliant. Just to prove absolutely that brilliant.
Well, anyway, still recently in the 20s. He came over. He lives in Ireland,
Does he?
Yeah, but he's from Barnsley. So
now this is Matt. Right, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
Matthew's mum.
That's right.
Did I send her a signed?
You sent her a signed. And she's
nice lady. Still,
yeah, she's lovely. And it's actually her.
Hello, Matthew's mum.
It's actually her that I went to stay with.
Was it really?
Yeah, because he couldn't get over to Hebden to see me, and he said, listen, you don't fancy coming over, it's just me and my mum and we'll go out for a curry.
Brilliant.
And it was I had such a lovely night. Oh. But the thing that I loved about it the most, she's wonderful. She's a couple of years older than my dad, so she's definitely of that generation.
Right.
And I found myself a couple of times saying some of the stuff my dad had, you know, shared on Facebook, like, it's all right to smack your kids and stuff like that.
God.
And it just set her off. And I realised she was very similar.
Oh, really?
And what I loved about it the most was I could just sit back and enjoy it, whereas Matthew was doing that slightly squirming thing whenever she said... One of my favourite things that she said was... Because I think, you know, I'm a lady, and and I've always wanted to have my own home, and I want to do all the cooking and the cleaning. I'm like going, well, that's because it suited, you know, his dad and everything. That's what Matthew said.
Yeah.
She said, yes, but, you know, I see them... There are women who have jobs, and like those women who are bus drivers, but they're more men than women.
Oh my goodness!
Just a different generation, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, I had such a lovely night. It was lovely.
Oh, bless her. Well, I had a strange experience. I went to a tea rooms, and what's happening? I think my brain's beginning to very slowly but surely fragment as I get older, since I've turned 50. But I've always been. I've got a bad sense of geography in the sense of where I can drive to. I don't remember directions, you know that.
It's very true.
But it's also, when it's quite close proximity, I lose my bearings as well.
In the house?
Sometimes in the house, but this was out in public. I was in a tea room, and I got a phone call, and I thought, I'll go, I don't like taking phone calls, so I'll go outside.
Yeah.
So I was keeping my head down, and going outside, got to the door of the thing, and there was a guy approaching the door from the other side, and so I... rushed to get out of his way. Rather than stand to one side because the phone call already started, I sort of rushed through the gap just before he got to it. So I didn't impede him, but he nevertheless felt the need to go, well, excuse me.
Oh, dear.
And I went, oh, no, sorry. And I held my hand out. I went, no, sorry, sorry. I just wanted to get out of your way. He went, excuse me. And I thought, oh, I'm going to hit you. And then he went for the hat trick. He went, excuse me. And I went, no, it's all right. And then walks off, right? So that's the first thing that happened. Okay, because I thought, I'm not apologising. No. I was genuinely trying to help. Also, none of the three excuse me's were necessary at all, right? Anyway, so that sort of like got me all wound up and I was all whipped up about it. And then the call ended and I'd wandered a little bit, about 10 yards, and I turned back into the cafe. Except it wasn't a cafe, it was a shop. Just a totally different shop. And weirdly, the woman who'd sat me down in the cafe was outside and she went, what are you doing? And I went, I'm trying to get back in the cafe. She went, yes, it's this way. And we walked.
You had to be led back into the cafe.
She was going back in. And we walked. And for some reason, I panicked again and took the first door, which was the toilet, to the cafe. And then finally made my way into the cafe. And then weirdly, I bumped into this woman yesterday. And she went, do you remember all that time you kept going the wrong way? I went, yes, I do. Thanks for reminding me. But it's just like, I think my brain's beginning to sort of close in on itself.
Well, I'm not 50 yet, so I've still got some time to go.
Introduce another song.
Here's another not song. And oh, this is a great one. This is takes me back to my cubbing days. This is Oops, There Goes My Woggle, R. Kayla and Brown Owl.
Okay. R. Kayla and Brown Owl, I mean, I think they've released two or three albums, but they fell out before this album, so they recorded it all separately. That's like, right. On separate continents, I think.
Absolutely true.
R. Kayla, like, did that trumpet thing, just the single, he insists he will only play the single trumpet, and Brown Owl, of course, just with that lovely...
And would only record at night as well.
That's strange. And sometimes won't record anything, just sends a silent tape back.
Because he went to, was it Iceland, where they have, like, just... endless days.
Yeah.
And so for about 3 months he didn't record.
I think Brown Owl might be a bit of a tool. It's hard to tell from the outside, isn't it? It's private, isn't it? Right, okay. It's time for inventions. Invest your pensions in Paul's hair extensions. Don't feel the tension. Paul's inventions.
Okay, here we go.
This is a part of the show. Don't do that. We've got to explain to our multitude when you listen. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, go for it, because you like to be the boss.
This is a part of the show where... we have three inventions or more, and you have to guess which one Paul has made up. So most of these are real.
Yes. In fact, 2/3 are real.
Not always. Sometimes it's more. That's okay. Not always the fraction.
2/3 are always real.
Okay. Go for it. Tell me the result.
So Walker's Crisps.
Yeah.
Did a selfies ad campaign, which backfired massively.
Selfies?
Selfie.
Okay.
So what they wanted you to tweet... tweet a selfie using the hashtag Walker's Wave, because they basically wanted and for a chance to win tickets to a cup final.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then they turned the selfies into a video featuring Gary Lineker. So you're effectively...
yeah. Waving to Gary Lineker.
Waving to, with him.
Okay, I see.
You're having your selfie with him.
Yeah,
waving.
I'm with you.
But there was no monitoring. There was no human monitoring that came in. And so the pictures just got uploaded.
Oh, you're joking.
And so people started sending photos of mass murderers.
Oh my God.
Dictators. So there was for a short while Gary Lineker like waving with
Hitler or something.
I think there was Hitler. I think there was also some serial killers.
What?
And then he kind of went, oh, let's take these down. That didn't work.
I think that's real. Okay. I'm going to say straight
away. So Harvey Nichols.
Yeah.
Ran a campaign to promote their summer sales that, oddly, featured models with wet stains on their crotches and a slogan that read, try to contain your excitement.
No.
For their new summer campaign.
No.
Or the NHS ran a campaign following an outbreak of worms across the northeast in the late 80s, and they had adults sitting on the floor, you know that shuffle that dogs do, where they shuffle along the floor to scratch their bum? Adults doing that, with a strapline that said, don't be like your dog. Go see your GP.
Mm.
So.
Effective.
You were like, that would make me cry. So which one did I make up? The Walker's selfie idea.
Right.
Harvey Nichols tried to contain your excitement. Or the NHS, don't be like your dog. Go see your GP.
I think you made up the last one.
I did.
Yeah. The other...
Can I show you a photo of the...
No.
There's another song.
Oh, yeah, this is one of yours. You discovered this. It's a new band,
isn't it? They're brilliant. Mm. They're called the Public Awareness Collective, and they do publicly aware songs.
Mm.
And sometimes are very hard-hitting. And
I mean, this literally is about what it says on the tin.
Yeah, and I think it's a very hard-hitting song. Great advice. Don't hang your washing out in the gale.
Brilliant.
I think that's a great song. It's great advice.
Important too.
Very important.
Do not hang your washing out in a gale. Don't do it.
I would argue that they didn't need to put the gale so high up in the mix. I could barely hear
him. No, I know. Because he's got a lovely voice. He's got a beautiful voice. Yeah. It's really... well, let's hear it.
Yeah.
And let's hear the advice. Right, you can get in touch with us. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can get in touch with us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Charnock.
I'm at Paul Coates _.
You can email us even. You can email us at...
leftoflefield@gmail.com.
leftoflefield@gmail.com, and it doesn't sound like that when you type it. And then,
or just contact us with your thoughts.
Yeah, you can
via thoughts. Yeah.
Or just text me. Right. Yeah. Okay.
His phone number is.
Right. Okay. Let's have one more song, and then it's time for something I'm dreading. My Medela Well. So this is. This was a recently re-released thing. It didn't do too well. But they re-recorded it, added some the sound of jangling keys. I'm trying to make your edit as difficult as possible.
I know, you really do.
They've added the sound of jangling keys.
Just to say, I tried to make up these songs. Mm. I mean, I do make them up, but you just using loops and garage band and stuff like that. And then very often, I listen...
You have to tailor it to what I've said.
And sometimes it's really hard. Right, okay. They're just not
Let's make
loop.
It simple then. There's a bit of jangling keys on this, and the sound of a giraffe yawning. This is Fallen Trousers by your dad. It's not the beginning, it's not the end. If you thought it was, then you're round the bend. It's the middle of the show, middle and all well. Middle of the show where we do what the hell we like.
Wow.
We do what the hell we like at this point in the show, but it's a game, it's a conversation.
It's just something.
It's a dream.
Do you know what? It's just a time filler, which is what this podcast really is.
It's what all podcasts really are, and in fact, it's what all activities really are. Filling time between now and death. Okay, and on that happy note... Right, now, this is something you'll be surprised to hear I've thought of a quite short notice.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do... We've done it before in different form where I've sung a song and you've got to guess what the movie is I'm singing about. Well, even though this is radio, I thought we could do something similar, but this time you have to guess it from dance.
Oh my God. I got to describe your dance?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to dance for you, which is something we've been toying with for years.
It is.
And if you could throw coins into hats, that would be great. But I'm going to dance. And you've got to describe to the audience what I'm doing with the dance, and you've got to guess what film I'm dancing.
Okay. You started to undress. I mean, is this necessary?
No. None of it will be nude, okay. I promise you. I just like to feel free. Right, okay.
Hang on, so what have I got to do? Just
describe what I'm doing.
But is it to any end? I mean, am I guessing something?
You've got to guess the film. It's a title.
Oh, it's a film.
Right, yeah.
I missed that bit.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Right,
okay. He stood up, which is very exciting.
Well, I just thought,
He's loosening.
Right, so I'm just, that's not part of the clue.
I'm sitting down.
I'm just loosening up because I'm an old man and I need to warm up.
I'm sitting down and right now it looks like I'm looking at a skyscraper.
Okay,
so. With a belly button there.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so I'm going to dance.
Yeah. He's going side to side, dancing.
You got
a machine gun out and you shot people down. Is it Scarface? Kissing the Ring?
To make that sound better than it is.
Godfather.
Yes! It was us dancing the Godfather!
But I've got to say that's the worst dance. Is this a mime?
Alright.
It was a mime.
Mate, I'm making this up as you go along.
Your feet shuffled while you
because, mime. Well, I realised as I started, I thought, all I'm going to do is mime. I've got to dance. I didn't dance.
You really did. You just mimed Kissing the Ring of the Godfather.
That sounded
and cool. Then a machine gun whilst shuffling your feet left and right. Is that what the dance was?
There's three more of these. Okay, right.
Oh my god.
Well you got it right. Now this is a bit tricky. I'm gonna give you a clue at the beginning. We're going back to the '80s here. Okay. Mind you,
didn't warn me about the Godfather.
I might do the same shuffle. Okay. Okay.
Here's
ready?
Yep. Watch it down. Bambi. Everyone should be mine with this.
Shall I start again? You've got to tell the audience what's happening. Right, okay.
He's shuffling his feet, he's got his camp hands up as if he was a deer, and he's got a bunny rabbit, it's Bugs Bunny. So who framed Roger Rabbit? What? No. And he's been pulled off by the scruff of the neck, and is it the bunny boiler? So it's with the knife, and he's still shuffling his feet. His shoulders are jigging up and down as well.
Think about the clues.
So it's a jagged knife.
It's not Jagged Edge. You're nearly there.
It's the same writer, isn't it?
Yes, and it's the same actress.
And it's
Glenn Close.
And it's your bonkers woman.
She's put the rabbit in.
Fatal Attraction.
Well done, mate. Really well done. And this is why people tune in.
So he's danced this time. I'm not. He shuffled his feet and then realised that wasn't enough. So he's now. His shoulders.
Right, I'm going to dance all of this now. I'm going to dance all of it now. Right? Are you ready?
No. I can't find it.
Right, here we go. You ready?
Okay. He's tiptoeing in. His hands are out. He's very balletic. Oh, he's opening a purse. Oh, Alien.
Why? What happened? Tell me what happened.
Well, you opened a purse.
It wasn't a purse. It was an egg.
Oh, was it an egg?
Yeah, I opened the egg and the face on the
You don't open an egg by putting your hands in and separating it like that.
Doing it well, all right. I just wanted to give you the sense of the scope.
But where was
of
the
it.
Dance?
A ballet danced into it.
Do I win? What do I win?
You've got to describe to the audience what's happening, or they, this is just a
mate,
noise.
It's horrifying.
Right, okay, last one. This is
oh my brilliant. God, you said three.
No, I said four. I said there's three more.
Three
that was
more.
After the first one. No, this is a bit trickier. Okay. This is a bit trickier.
Okay, he's doing that shoulder shuffle, and he's up on his haunches, and he's patting an egg.
No, it's not an egg. I'm patting.
Is that, that's where the egg was last time.
No, right, listen, it's a boy.
It's right, a boy. It's right. Patting the boy. Oh. Now you're looking for nits. No. He's in there looking for nits, and he's found lots of nits. So many nits. 666. It's Damien. It's Omen.
Yes.
It's Omen.
It was the Omen. I was finding the tattoo on his head.
I thought you were biting.
Now, how do we think that went?
Very well.
Is that something we could do again?
No.
What do you mean?
Because you can't.
I mean, part of the problem is you weren't describing the dancing.
You mean that your dancing was not dancing?
I shuffled around.
All right, let's have another song.
Oh, God.
Oh, I know how Camel Toe Job feels. This is by Camel Toe Job, and it is Ain't Got No Love In My Money Box.
Beautiful. Another a triumphant round there of dance. I mean, there's very few podcasts that have dance as part of the thing.
See, well,
it's a first, I can see, if anything.
First of all, we had dance without a dancer.
Well,
and secondly, it's a sound medium. I loved it. I wish I could have filmed it.
I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad there's no evidence apart from just, like, you know,
anyway,
verbal evidence. Yes.
Swell-a-well.
Bingy bong.
Swell-a-well.
Bongy bing.
Paul, what would you like to talk about?
So you did a rhetorical one.
I realise I'm first.
Okay, so this is part of the show. We'll just talk about a little cultural thing or something that we like or that we've enjoyed or that we've hated even.
Well, this is... Do we do hate?
No.
No.
this is swell.
Right. So... This is Don Winslow, who we've had many times.
God.
I don't know whether you know about this, but there's the third and final instalment of the Border Trilogy.
He's written two extraordinary novels about the Mexican drug cartels.
So he's written three now. So the first one is Power of the Dog.
Yeah.
It's basically the cartel in this and the DEA, the enforcement agency, in the 70s to early 80s.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And then Cartel became sort of like the 90s.
Yeah.
And he's just finished it off with his new book, which came out.
Is it amazing?
It's called The Border. And I knew it was coming. And so I decided, because I read The Power of the Dog probably about seven or 8 years ago now. And I just thought, I'm gonna read the two. I'm going to read The Power of the Dog and Cartel.
Yeah.
And reading them back to back and then following it with The Border.
Did you reread them to read The Border? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what I hadn't realised, because I loved them.
Yeah, they're amazing.
I absolutely loved them. And it is about, it's effectively about the, it is the cartel, but it's about America's war on drugs and how, first of all, it's a war you can't win. And secondly, it's a war that a lot of business is heavily invested in. You know, it talks about the cartel, but actually, that cartel is not just Mexican. That cartel is American.
Yeah.
You know, it's a two-way situation where they're picking, you're paying for governments and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's amazing. And what I loved about reading them back to back is all the little stories that are actually carried on that I'd forgotten.
Oh, I see. Because there's little. I'm impressed with people who reread books. You read interviews with writers. I went back to Orwell's 1984. I don't
think I really don't do it very often. But I just wanted. I loved it so much, and I'm so glad I did. Because it has given, because it brings...
But it must be so enriching to have all that.
And The Border brings it right up to now.
Yeah.
To the point where he's got a character called Dennison, who is Trump.
Mm.
And what he's done, because Don Winslow is an ardent anti-Trump guy. He has basically said, you know how there's so many links to Russia...
Yeah,
with the current president and how they've taken Russian money and how they're using influence and all that, and that's what he's been investigated for at the moment. Well, he's gone, what if that was a cartel? And so that's what the latest book is all about how the cartel and the American government become inseparable. And it's Art Keller, and it brings amazing. Back all of the...
There's some great characters in it, so you really end up caring
absolutely.
About them.
Absolutely. And it's some, and he dangles these characters who are... Like, there's a kid who takes the train, who wants to leave Guatemala
yeah.
through Mexico
yeah.
to the border yeah. to come across. And he's an 11-year-old kid, and you go with him, and you follow his story all the way through, and you desperately want it to hope... then it's going to pay off, but it doesn't always pay off for these. For some of these characters, terrible things happen. Anyway, honestly, it's blown me away.
Well, I'm definitely going to read it because I absolutely yeah. love the first yeah. two.
The book is fantastic. The Border is fantastic. Read it, but if you've not read them, read them.
You'll love them. Honestly, guaranteed. Absolute 100%. Cast Iron. Yeah.
There you go. That's my swallow.
All right, time for another song. Then it's my swallow. This is I'm a Husk of a Man, and it's Everyone Else's Fault by DJ Tool.
I know how he feels.
Thanks for playing that live, DJ Tool. Thanks, Tooley. All the best, man. Thanks, Mark. Great to see you.
I have to say...
Paul as well. No, just you, mate. Just you, Mark. You're great.
I don't mind him not talking to me. That was very low energy. I mean, that was like... I know he's not very
we're just,
happy.
We're close.
No, but I'm in the song. I know he's not very happy.
Give me your dirty looks all the way through it as well.
It was like... It's one note. It's one note.
Are you trying to save yourself an edit here by describing this?
Barely. It's clever. Barely. It's just one note.
Clever.
And it went on. 12 minutes.
I know, it's too long. In many ways, it's too long. For the audience, it's too much.
Well, luckily, we cut out after about 15 seconds every time.
Mind you, judging by some of the songs you used to pick for the radio show, it's not that far off. Right, okay. Swallow well.
Biggie bomb.
Swallow well.
Bing.
What have I been liking just recently?
You should try not to do it rhetorically.
No, I know, it doesn't work. Okay, I was going to do a book. You're doing a book, so I'll do my book next time. So I've just read an amazing couple of books. But anyway, I'm going to go with a TV show. It's a couple of Netflix shows, actually, but I'll start with one. I've got time, I'll do both. So the first one is, I'd be interested to know what you think, is Afterlife, Ricky Gervais's new thing. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, and I'm not sure I'm going to.
Nor was I. Right, so Ricky Gervais, I was a Ricky Gervais obsessive for many years.
Me too.
Loved Office, loved Extras, loved
the podcast. Those early podcasts were
wasn't the best thing. Big fan of Derek, if I'm honest, but I've liked some of his films as well. I thought Ghost Town was a really underrated film. I thought I really enjoyed that. It was a very sweet romantic comedy. Quite like The Invention of Lying. So I've sort of been up and down with him, but I say that, but really it was Derek that his stand-ups I've had. He's a decent stand-up, I think, as well. Yeah. So Afterlife, I was a bit resistant to, so I thought, oh, I don't know, because some of his jokes nowadays, I thought, has he lost the irony? Is it just him just slagging people off now and stuff like that, you know? And I know you meant to like those intros he did to the award ceremonies, but I found him, maybe it's just my Britishness, I just found it a bit uncomfortable.
I don't doubt his talent. I think
he is so talented. Yeah. I think some people came off the Ricky Gervais bandwagon. I was never really off it. I suppose I'd had some doubts, I guess. And then I watched Afterlife, so I've been resisting it. And I'm not saying it's without flaws, but it's all heart.
Yeah,
I found it really. It's really stayed with me, and above all other things, so it's about, just to describe it, people who've not seen it, it's about a widower who is crushed by the loss of his wife and has decided to use as his superpower, as he keeps describing it, just being horrible. He can say whatever the hell he wants now because he's not afraid of death. He's considering suicide all the time, you know, and he works in a local newspaper that's run by his brother-in-law, played really well, and it's peopled by all these interesting characters. He's got a relationship with his dad who's beginning to get, Alzheimer's, it would appear. So it's just, he lives in this beautiful village in middle England somewhere. But what it did was, it's his best acting performance. It's even better than Brent, in my opinion. I think it's so nuanced, his performance. It's really, really good. And I just thought he was really brilliant in it. And he just sells this horrible man who is... hiding his heart away.
Yeah.
And the person I was with saying, this is just a love letter to his partner, Jane, isn't it? It's just a love letter. And it might be that, I don't know. But I found it very funny. It's very dark. Very, very moving.
Yeah.
But in the best... And it's also incredibly uplifting. It's got all of the usual tropes of Ricky Gervais. He brings up his atheism. He brings up his disappointment in people, you know. But also the essential belief that we can be better. I found it... I think it's... It's wonderful, actually,
okay.
Afterlife. I think it's really wonderful piece of work. It's a proper little work of art. I loved it. I loved it.
I probably won't.
I encourage you to.
I know.
Fair enough. It's up to you.
There's a lot to watch. Is all I can argue.
Yeah, yeah. And they're half hour long. They're manageable, you know. And
I'm just done with him. I'm done. It's not his talent. I'm done with the message he puts out.
Right. Okay.
And I just this assumption that we know he's joking when he says some terrible things. I'm done with that.
I know. That was my problem. I had.
And it's not particular to this project.
Yeah.
I think
it's his stand-up, isn't it?
With that persona, with that, and I have to say, all of the clips was that.
There is a lot of that in it, but it's got a lovely sentimentality to it. I mean, use the word sentimentality in a good way.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I mentioned a couple of podcasts ago A Man Called Over, which I think is almost exactly the same story, but with. Just, you loved it, and I'm talking about a show I've not seen, so I can't really, you know.
I thought it was really strong. Anyway, that's my. And just quickly, another one I just watched, a little documentary called The Two Killings of Sam Cooke. This is also on Netflix. It's only an hour and a quarter. And I didn't know much about Sam Cooke. I just knew he was a legendary soul singer. Yeah. But I didn't know he died in mysterious circumstances.
No,
at the age of 33, he was shot. And there's all sorts of. But I just didn't know. I didn't know about his legacy and how influential he was with Muhammad Ali, with Malcolm X. So he was part of that group of African-American men who were fighting the good fight, you know, and sort of saying things that made the FBI very uncomfortable.
Right.
And there's all sorts of suspicions around his death.
And why two killings? Or is that giving it away?
No, it's not. It's the actual killing, and it's the killing of what would have been a man who could have changed things. So it's the killing of his politics as well.
That sounds great.
It's fantastic. So the two killings. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We appreciate it. Thanks for pitying us. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks, and Paul's going to play us out with one of his a beautiful song, I think.
It's a beautiful song. This is by Crunching Gears, which always happens when I'm driving. Mm. It's Me or the Postman.